You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast with host Fifi Peters.
Startups are important for innovation in any economy and economic progress in that economy. Think about Apple, Facebook, Tesla. Locally, think about names like Capitec or even Yoko as some of the startups that have really changed the game and how we do things. Despite their importance and their potential, startups generally tend to encounter common obstacles in their journey for growth. And one of the most common obstacles, of course, is securing funding. We have Rentoza on the show. They are a South African startup that have just raised $6 million from private investors. So that's around 120 million or just below 120 million rand. And they're here to share their fundraising blueprint that perhaps other startups can potentially use. We're joined by its chief marketing officer, Mishan Ratan. Mishan, thanks so much for your time. Perhaps let's start off with a brief description of Rentoza and what it is you do.
Okay, so Rentoza is Africa's first subscription platform for products, and specific products being all your electronics, your appliances, baby goods, fitness equipment, and even power solutions. So what we did is we wanted to build an alternative solution to, you know, what exists in the market. Currently, to access products, you need to either purchase it, you need to take on, you know, debt or credit, or you need to go into sort of, you know, leasing agreements and those kind of things, right? So what we did is we created Rentoza as a pure play subscription platform. And what this is basically is that we give you access to these products at a fraction of the cost, and we give you the flexibility to match your lifestyle. And how that practically works means that, for example, you know, let's use a phone as an example. So you want the latest phone, you know, you're going to have to either take it on a contract to a telco, or you're going to have to purchase it outright, which becomes ridiculous at the price of the phones that we see nowadays. What we offer you is a different alternative. So we know that technology in those phones, you know, starts to age very quickly, and within a year you've got a new phone, or sometimes even faster. So to keep up with the technology, we believe that subscription is the best way to access these products. So you can get the outcomes you need from your phone. And, you know, at any point in time, should you, you know, want to change the phone, should your circumstances change, you can either downgrade it, or you can upgrade it, right? If a new product comes out and you want to upgrade, you can. And you can even cancel with zero penalties, right? And the difference being is that, you know, in a traditional sort of sense with credit and rental and those kind of things, you have, you know, clauses that restrict you from exiting a contract. With us, there is no boundary to exiting the contract. It is built out of a real consumer need. So we give you the product at a fraction of the cost. We give you the flexibility to match your lifestyle and make sure the product services or does what it needs in your lifestyle. And we allow you to change that product whenever you want. So even, you know, we say upgrade and downgrade, you have flexibility to, for example, change your phone for an iPad if you wanted to, or change a microwave for a fridge. You know, as long as you have a subscription, you have access to product. And that's what we've created. And it's non-credit in the back of that as well.
Mm-hmm. What's the catch?
There is no catch. This is the question that everybody asks us, right? Is that we built this out of a real need because we're consumers at the end of the day, right? And we're people that, you know, started our careers and, you know, we want nice things like all South Africans do, as being aspirational consumers in this country. And we found that there was no way that we could, you know, just use items without having to put ourselves in, you know, sort of long-term debt or these massive credit-backed agreements. And if things happen to those products, you know, they broke or they you know, got lost or whatever, we were still liable for these things. And we said to ourselves, like, surely there must be a better way to do this. With the cycle that we see in these products, I really don't need this forever. You know, I just want to use the product for what I need it for and then just let go of it, you know. And I can, you know, focus on other things in my life, and I can use the money for different things. So we decided to create this, right? And it is a on-risk model, and that's why everybody goes, hey, you know, it sounds too good to be true.
Mm-hmm.
For once, it's not, right? Because, you know, we believe that this model, subscription and being the first product subscription, yes, there are a lot of other subscription models in the market, but they're, you know, subscription as service. We believe that product subscription is going to be the future of access for all kinds of services and products in the future. And we're sort of pioneering that way in South Africa now. And it makes good business sense as well. So although, you know, you have a customer that's taking, you know, a subscription, you pay month to month to use the item, and people cancel, people upgrade, people downgrade, we're actually managing the items quite well in our ecosystem. And at the back of it, the reason it works is because when somebody downgrades or changes or swaps an item, We bring it back, we assess, we refurbish, we make it good as new, and we can recirculate that item within our ecosystem to somebody that's now requested that product. And we also sort of have, you know, that part of the business that looks at, you know, how we impact the environment and have a model that evolves with what consumers need into the future.
Okay, let's talk more about the business sense then. And by sense, I'm talking about the monetary value, yes. Not necessarily the logic. But is your company profitable, and how long have you been doing what you're doing for?
Yes, so I mean, we are profitable. We've been doing this for about 5 years, and the existing model that you look at is subscription. It wasn't always that. We started, I mean, this is the third iteration of the business, and, you know, as a startup, you know, you have to be agile and be able to pivot and see what, you know, the market is telling you and what the information and data is telling you. And we started it a few years back, and it's been in its current state for, I'd say, just under 3 years now in terms of pure subscription. And this is the model that, you know, we've landed, and we found product market fit, and we'll continue to, you know, stick to this model and grow it and expand it, not just in South Africa, but hopefully across our borders as well. And we are a profitable business. I mean, we have revenues last year that exceeded 40 million rand, and we have a positive EBITDA in our business currently. So we've found a way to manage this business with the massive asset book that we have, because, you know, we have to purchase these products ourselves. So what we say is that we own the product, so you don't have to. So we have a massive asset base and a balance sheet in our business. And the business is going well, and it's growing. And we've seen the business grow at about 300% year on year over the last 2 years.
Sure. And of course, in terms of your plans to expand the business, those plans just got a little bit easier, just given the funding that you were able to secure from partners who were backing you, or who are backing you, some 6 million US. So I think that's just shy of 120 million rands. So let's talk about that funding journey then. As you say, the business today is not exactly what it looked like 5 years ago. In terms of the funding journey, how did you find it?
So, I mean, the funding journey is an interesting question, because I think for anybody that's an entrepreneur or has tried to start a business and scaled it, you really understand that it takes everything out of you, right? So, I mean, that goes from, you know, trying to get that money to continue your growth, as well as finding the right partners. So now our funding journey, of course, started with us. You know, we are four founders, and we are four friends that came together to do this. We put our own money into the business, of course, because we had an idea and we wanted to prove that it worked. And, you know, as we found that, you know, we were building this thing and it started to work, of course, you need more funding. So we continue to bootstrap this. We're lucky that, you know, we have big networks, and we've got friends and family that trust us and love us, and we're willing to part with money, you know, for a period of time to help us grow this. So we'll be eternally grateful for the people that helped us start the business and fund it. And we bootstrapped the business for years, right? So for the first sort of 3 years, we got funding from friends and family and basically anybody that would have a discussion with us and sit and understand the business and the business plan and the dynamics. And then as we were going through that journey in parallel, we also, you know, we would look for funding through accelerators and those kind of things. And we ended up in an accelerator program, you know, 2019, which became our first, you know, sort of pre-seed funding round, where they gave us some money to build the business out a little bit further. And in that process, we also met an angel investor who gave us a little bit more money to help us, you know, grow as well. We continued that journey, and we still bootstrapped it, family, friends, wherever we could, as well as, you know, short-term lenders in the market. So there's quite a few, you know, lenders in the market that will provide debt to you. And of course, we need quite a bit of debt. And we used all of those funders as well over that journey. And then we got to a point of, you know, seed funding, and we got some investment from the Mine Workers Investment Company. That was probably our biggest round of funding initially. And that was around, you know, sort of $1 million in totality. And that helped us really, you know, change the business around a little bit. It gave us, you know, some solid footing. And again, it started helping us to, you know, build the business out in terms of employee and, you know, some of our growth trajectory that we had planned. So we managed to change our funding structure by then. So by the time we got into, you know, to that point at seed funding, we started to see, we already saw traction. We started to see further and further traction with the business. And as we've grown even further, you know, and the demand has increased, we're having to acquire more product, and, you know, there's a lot more customers. We've grown our customer base by about 100% in the past year. And we then went on a journey to get our Series A funding, which was through the IDF. and the Vumela Fund, the first one being a prominent African investor across sub-Saharan, and not just sub-Saharan Africa, sort of throughout Africa. And the Vumela Fund, a lot of people are familiar with it. It's backed by the First Rand Group, and they provided some of the funding for us as well. And that's, you know, that's sort of been our journey to this point. So that last round of Series A gave us the $6 million that, you know, we're talking about now, and that gave us the ability to, you know, take this business and this brand and grow our revenues and expand it into, you know, not just South Africa, but hopefully, you know, across our borders, which will take some time, of course. And that's sort of been our funding journey since then. I think I've summarized it, but, you know, there's been a lot of stress, you know, from day one to now.
Sure.
Just managing to, you know, make sure that we're able to grow the business with the funding that we received, whether it be, you know, small amounts from family or large amounts from institutional investors, and making sure we put that money to work in the right places in this business so that we could continue to grow. And I think we've made some good decisions, and we continue to grow. And we're actually looking at, you know, starting our Series B funding round very soon. So that's going to happen in the next year.
Okay, so you're looking to raise more money. And I think that the point that you mentioned around stress is perhaps something that a lot of people can relate to. I mean, right now I'm just looking at cyclists. There's a cycling race on the screen, and the road is pretty smooth for them as they turn around the various bends. But that is not the journey of life for most people. There's a whole lot of ups and downs and potholes and roadblocks and all of that. It's not a straight and a smooth journey. But I just want to reflect on the various sources of funding that you have tapped and your success in raising funding so far. So you used friends at the initial stages, family. There was an angel investor that backed you and believed in you. You partnered with an accelerator program. There was an investment holding company that believed in you, and then you scaled it up to private equity players. Funding is often quite biggest constraint, or listed as one of the biggest constraints for startups all over the world to get going and to scale, as you're talking about right now. From your experience, what are some of the major lessons you'd like to share with startups, and some of the pitfalls that startups fall into that prevent them from being successful in their funding ambitions?
Yeah, so, you know, I think there's a lot of things we can talk about in there, but I'll just touch on a few things. I think that, you know, it's important, you know, when looking at funding and when you've got a business and you're growing, it's not just about the money, right? So, you know, you've got to find, especially if you're looking, you know, you don't, might not have the full expertise. We're lucky we have, you know, four founders with good experience, so we can cover all the bases, but often it's not like that, right? You've got one person or two people, and you don't have the full skill set. So, you often, like, I think the biggest thing that people make a mistake on is actually just diving in and going, taking money from anybody, right? So actually what you need to do is make sure you understand what you need the funding for. It's, hey, do I need this for growth? Do I need this for expertise? Do I need the network? That's also a vitally important piece when deciding on an investor, right? Can they open up a network to you that can help you, you know, build out a longer roadmap of funding in the future? Do they have, you know, a wider array or pool of funds that you can access at a later stage? You know, there's a lot of things you need to think about in there. And then once you think about those things, you've got to have a financial plan for your business. I mean, you've got to be really close to the numbers always, right? Because if you're going to take on, you know, funding and especially at large scale, you've got to really be able to put that money to work in the right spaces at the right places to impact your balance sheet in the right way. And then the other thing you need to think about is, you know, is this the right investor for me? Often it's, you know, I just take the money, because often people just need the money. You know, they need to sell their businesses and they need to do that stuff. You've got to find a way to say no as well. You've got to have a wide net, and you've got to find an investor that sort of aligns to your values. Well, not sort of, but has to align to your values and your vision. Because the last thing you want is to be a passenger in your own business over the next few years, right? Because you want somebody that's going to look at you and go, hey, you know, we trust you to do this. You've proved that this works. We believe that you can take it forward. We will support you, right? And we believe that what you're trying to achieve, and in our cases, you know, to extend access to everybody that previously might not have had access, right? So you've got to find a funder that aligns to that and goes, we believe in that same vision, and we'll do what it takes to support you, right? And yes, it's, you know, it seems simple and easy, but it's very hard to find, you know, a funder that is aligned in that way and will still give you the autonomy to run, but also make sure that they can support you when things are a bit rocky, right? So that's important when looking at, you know, who's going to find your business. And then the other thing you need to think about is you have to do your due diligence. You know, like you go through these processes with funders where they give you sort of, you know, through the due diligence process, hundreds and hundreds of questions to answer. You've got to break down your business in multiple ways for them to understand before they even take you through to a process of a term sheet and actually give you funding. And that's often a very long and extended process. I mean, while that's happening, you also have to do your due diligence on an investor. Like you've got to spend the same amount of time looking at the investors, looking at the people within that business, look at the previous businesses they've invested in, look at the trajectory of those businesses, speak to, you know, some of those investee companies, speak to some of the founders if you can get a hold of them, and make sure you have an understanding of, you know, how they operate. And if that operating model, you know, or operating system aligns to your operating system, I think, you know, then you can find success here. And listen, there's never going to be 100% success with any investor.
Sure.
It just doesn't work like that. Everybody's got their own, you know, directives, mandates, and objectives and goals. And at the end of the day, the investors are there to invest their money to make money, right?
So sure.
Although you might have a beautiful vision, if you can't really make it work financially, you can fall into some issues. So just, you know, I think those are the main things that people need to think about, is make sure you have a solid hold on your financials. Make sure you understand what levers you can pull when you get the money that you have. Make sure you understand and you're clear with your investors that this is the vision, this is what I'm trying to do with my money, and they can support you with that. And then make sure you do your homework. I think, you know, if you follow those steps, I mean, it's some of the stuff that we actually did, it's practical, advice.
Sure.
It helped us in our way. And when you get into sticky situations, which you will, get into sticky situations with, you know, taking money from institutional investors and those kind of things, you have to have a good understanding of your business and how you can solve those problems. And the only way to make sure that you can do that is to have a good relationship, good understanding, and a good hold of, you know, how you can manage the financials a little bit better to get to where you need to get to even hurdle those problems that you come across.
All right. Mishan, thanks so much for that. I think you have given us a wonderful perspective on the other side of seeking funding as a startup or as an SME. I mean, usually you have the picture of an Oliver Twist being painted, someone just standing in the funding queue, a cup in hand, just asking for more. But you've actually provided a wonderful perspective on the power also that startups actually do have, and the importance that they, or the importance of making sure that they align with the right investor, such that when the money does come, it is money that does not make them feel like a passenger in their own business, but it's money that supports them very much still in the driving seat. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there for now. Perhaps we'll catch up with you next time once you succeed with the Series B round of funding that you did let us know that you are on. And we hope that you can share more lessons with us in that regard. But that was Mishan Ratan. He is the Chief Marketing Officer over at Rintoza.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.